This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. Yesterday, we heard from some of the young leaders who are working to build a new economy in the city of Wheeling after decades of economic decline. And slowly, some are buying and rehabbing old houses in the neighborhood of East Wheeling. Historically, East Wheeling has been home to the city's African-American community. The revitalization movement is largely made up of middle-class white professionals. So how does the movement look to a young person of color in East Wheeling, where nearly 70% of children live below the poverty line? Producer Catherine Moore toured the neighborhood with one of its longtime residents, Ron Scott Jr., who counsels at-risk youth in East Wheeling. He shares his memories of the way things used to be, his perspective on how things have changed, and his opinions about the efforts to re-envision his old stomping ground.
We are in the wonderful snow-covered East Wheeling. Well, this is a little different of a look from when I was younger, but I still love it just the same. My name is Ronald Scott Jr. I am 40 years old. I'm from Wheeling, West Virginia, preferably East Wheeling, and I'm a counselor. There's Jack's, well, what used to be Jack's, the building next to where my Uncle Wiley lived was called Jack's Produce. And it was another hub of the community. It was one of those places everybody went. It was a sustaining neighborhood that people lived in, have memories of, and there's not much of it left. And that's rough. Never really thought about it. And there's, you know, there's new folks coming now. I call them the new bohemians because they're young, they seem to love life, and all about change, they're open-minded. You might see a cat with his headphones in jogging while all his dogs walking around. You might see a white cat with dreadlocks telling you about fruit smoothies and stuff like that. This is stuff that we weren't necessarily seeing back in the day. When you think of Wheeling, I guess in a sense, East Wheeling would be the area that's where the black folks were. The area had a very rich and connected community, and I think a lot of it got lost, mainly because of the drug epidemic and the crimes that came along with it. We had an entire generation that ended up being in prison. We lost an entire generation to that. And then we had an entire generation that was growing up addicted. And then you had a generation that were raised solely by their grandparents. And then when you throw on top of that, the projects that had good intent, like the Hope Six, the projects that tore down the government housing, that Grandview Manor that tore it down and displaced those families. And like the project that brought this field here that tore down this entire neighborhood and displaced those families, that just fractured and scattered an entire community that was once a lot stronger and a lot more connected. There's a ton of differences between the folks that are from here and the folks that I'm calling the new bohemians that have kind of made their way here. You got to envy some of the new bohemians because they see Wheeling as a blank slate. And that's so different than the people that are from here, you know, who remember when this neighborhood was there and now it's gone and they were forced to move over here and now they moved over here. Because what they have, as far as Wheeling is concerned, are the memory of the doors that were shut in their face or the programs that were stopped. But we can learn from their drive, from their incentive, and from their vision. We could definitely learn from that because they're seeing our home in a different way. And the best part is, it's their home now too. So if we could kind of sync both of our visions together, we could do a whole lot of stuff in this area. I think right now in Wheeling, there is a sense of hope that's going along with all the changes and improvements that folks are making around here. But unfortunately, I think it's a lot tougher to see all that hope that everybody else is feeling and momentum when you're poor in the area, especially young and poor. Hope is a luxury that a lot of them aren't afforded. And so as much hope as there is in the city, when you're a young, poor person in this area, it just isn't for you. It's almost like watching a TV show. I, again, like to stay as positive as I can and think that the folks that are here to make change want to include us in the change. Like, they want to change an environment into a better version of itself instead of just what I want it to be and what I see, and it only includes them. So I'm hoping that that is the thing that separates the movement now from gentrification. Like, there's a woman named, everybody calls her Gigi, Miss Gigi, who does amazing things for kids. She does things like, she had a princess party right in front of her house. All these little girls came down, put on dresses, did makeup, nails. One day she had a barbecue. Nobody got charged. Everybody ate. She had kickball games, adults versus kids. And what I would need for some of these new bohemian folks to do is get involved with that. You know, don't necessarily try to bring something brand new that could steamroll over something that's already there. You know, Gigi's doing things. See if you can help her, because she would love to help. And it would be great to see folks get behind you. Just take a back seat to us every now and again. I got a lot of hope that I think this is the first wave, and there's going to be more to come. And I think every wave is going to get more and more intense every time until changes all over this area. And we'd be able to sit down with the new folks and the folks that have been here together and talk about the change. Like, I would be able to tell them about Jax and what it was, and they'll be able to tell me about all the things they found out about Jax when they were renovating it and turning it into what it is now. And it would be a friendly conversation where I'm glad you came and did it, and they're glad that you could tell me this wasn't just a building, you know, that I didn't put all my blood, sweat, and tears into renovating just some wood. Like, this was a place with history, and one hand will wash the other, and it'll be a success.
Again, that was Ron Scott, a counselor and lifelong resident of East Wheeling, in a multimedia series that looks at what's next for the economy of West Virginia. Appalachian Transition Fellow Catherine Moore visited Scott and other young leaders in the city to find out why they make their homes in the friendly city. You can see a video of this story and more on our website, wvpublic.org. This is West Virginia Morning. It's 7:51. Partly cloudy skies with scattered rain and thunderstorms today. Temperatures in the 70s and low 80s. Rain and thunderstorms in the forecast for tonight. Lows in the 60s. And same for tomorrow. Partly cloudy skies with a chance of rain and thunderstorms. Highs remaining in the 70s and low 80s.
Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting is provided by Tamarack, where environmentalist Meredith Young fashions colorful tin cans into upcycled jewelry. Located at I-77, exit 45, and tamarackwv.com.
Tourism development groups in West Virginia have begun to develop a new project called the Mountain Music Trail. The trail takes its inspiration from a similar music trail in southwestern Virginia called the Crooked Road. This trail has helped southwestern Virginia market itself as a popular destination for heritage tourists who are interested in listening to traditional mountain music. Probably the most popular destination along the Crooked Road is Floyd, Virginia. Roxy Todd traveled to Floyd recently during one of their famous Friday night jamborees, and she talked with visitors and natives who intermingle at this popular music venue.
In spring, summer, and fall, downtown Floyd, Virginia, on Friday nights is crowded with tourists who've come from all over the world. They've traveled to hear traditional old-time music. Locals fill the downtown sidewalks and benches outside the Floyd Country Store. On one block of the town, there are several jams going on, people playing guitars and banjos and fiddles. This is what's known as the Friday Night Jamboree. It's a tradition in Floyd. For decades, musicians have been coming to play tunes together in jams. But it's what's going on inside the Floyd Country Store that most of the tourists are here to experience. The music scene here has gotten so popular that instead of a jam, the store hires professional musicians and people pay $5 to get in the door. That's the sound of about 50 flatfoot dancers clogging on the dance floor, locals and outsiders all together. A local band plays old-time mountain music on the stage. Standing and watching the Flatfoot dancers are two travelers from Europe who are taking a week's tour through Appalachia.
Hi, I'm Fabrizio from Switzerland. And yoo-hoo!
These guys just came from West Virginia where they were kayaking, and now they're soaking up more Appalachian culture. I noticed Fabrizio was wearing a shirt from Pies and Pints, a pizza restaurant and brewery in West Virginia.
We were there 2 days ago in Fayetteville. That's beautiful and good pizzas. Yeah.
Where are you going next?
Tomorrow, Freeze. There is a festival tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, I think, the whole day. And I think we will stay there in Freeze, Virginia.
Yeah. Why?
Why? Because we wanted to hear some traditional music, and we were in Galax. They told us that tomorrow there is a festival in Freeze, and so therefore we go there for the whole day tomorrow.
Floyd gets lots of visitors from Europe and from all over the United States. The Crooked Road Music Trail is doing what it's supposed to do. It's bringing money to local businesses. The number of visitors who come to Floyd has been steadily increasing for years, but mostly in the last 10 years. A hotel was built 8 years ago right across the street from the Floyd store, and it recently expanded to 40 rooms. The success in Floyd has even attracted the attention of people in West Virginia who would like to see this type of music trail in the Mountain State. And a group from West Virginia recently traveled to Floyd to hear a presentation about tourism. After the presentation, I caught up with Ladina Martin, the Community and Economic Development Director for Floyd County. She says most visitors come for the Friday night jamboree.
The best of all worlds is when visitors can come and enjoy that. They can share some of their money with us while they're here, and then they can go home. They may eventually decide they want to come back here, visit again, or they may decide they want to live here.
Locals have mixed feelings about whether they like the increase in tourism. Lots of the people who live here came in the 1970s for a quiet life in a farming community. Just 400 people live here. And on some weekends, the population swells with hundreds of tourists.
Sometimes when we have a perception of tourism being swarms of people coming in and then things popping up to meet those demands that may or may not fit into the context, that may not come out of the fabric of the land and the community. And so the balance that we're trying to achieve is to have things of interest not only to visitors, but things that we like as locals, you know, things that we enjoy, whether it's the Friday night jamboree or whether it's, you know, food events or other things, agriculture, keeping farming vibrant. I mean, those are things that are at the core of our being.
So far, the tourism hasn't changed the atmosphere of this town too much, according to most of the people who are downtown on a typical Friday night. And while plenty of tourists pay the $5 fee to get inside the Floyd Country Store to hear the music, most of the people who come to play and listen to music outside are locals. People like musician J.C. Poff, who is playing his songs along the street, hoping to sell his songs to country musicians. When he was younger, he moved away from this area to find work. But then he returned to enjoy a quiet mountain life in retirement.
If I could go back to the mountains again, where a dollar is a dollar and your neighbor is your friend. Set out on the front porch in an old wooden swing. Hear my grandpa play his fiddle. Grandma softly sing.
If you stop by Floyd on a Friday night, you'll find plenty of musicians who have made it to the inside stage and are paid well for their performances each week. But you'll also find musicians like J.C. Poff sitting outside the country store on a bench, playing their songs and hoping to catch their big break. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Roxy Todd in Floyd.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our producer is Ashton Mara. Our director is Teresa Wills. I'm Beth Voorhees.